Hey, everybody, thanks for joining us here for Site Lap as we look ahead to Philadelphia this weekend. I'm your host, David Pingree. Bruce Marotta not able to join us today, but I got J-Law back. Everybody wants him. We got him. And he's got the vintage shirt. I love it.
Yeah.
That's straight out of what, like 09?
This thing would have been an 07 right here. This was a special pay my fine Villopoto fight special. So thank you if you have one. I really appreciate it.
You got Jason back on the track. I love it.
Yeah,
Hey, we got our sponsors. I want to hit Rock and Turf. These guys are rad. Check them out for any of your landscape needs. Artificial grass and the mats made out of artificial grass. Super cool. Rock and Turf on Rock and Turf on Instagram. Maxxis.com, truck tires, mountain bike tires, killer stuff. Check those guys out. And speedstrap.com, tie downs and toe straps. Really cool stuff. We love their stuff. Stoked to have them on board. We're going to Philly, man. I guess the last time we were there was early 80s, long ass time ago. Lincoln Financial Field, the Link, they call it, home of the Philadelphia Eagles. Don't know what the dirt's going to be. Can't talk to that too much, but we don't have rain. Our Maxxis Towers weather report showing 62 degrees, partly cloudy. Damn it, it's about time we have some decent weather.
That's right, dude. It should be good. And about the dirt, I would expect it'll probably be something like that East Rutherford, New Jersey Supercross that we had. You know, like the New Jersey Supercross, we would call it, probably like, probably similar to that. I mean, no rain should be good, dude. It
You
should be
think
real good dirt. Should
you think
rot
they're
up.
using that same dirt? Like, not too far from one another, huh?
I don't know. Maybe. I mean, we'll know if you see it. It's that like black dirt with a little bit of rocks in it type thing. That'll probably be it. But they could have any kind of dirt they want there, man. I mean, South Jersey, right over the bridge, we got all kinds of sand and everything. So they could bring in what they want.
Sick to make it all out of sand. I'd love it.
That would be cool.
All right, so let's jump right into our speed straps 250 preview. We're going, this is 250 east. You gotta verify that these days, because there's west races on the east and east races on the west. Who knows? So we got, basically, why don't you run us through the points here as we head into the penultimate round? They're basically, they have this race, a weekend off when we go to Denver, and then they'll do their final round with the West Coast as an East-West showdown in Vegas. So we're down to it here. Nuts and bolts. And what do we got for points, Jay?
All right, well, we're going to mention everybody who's still mathematically possible. So that's going to be 8th place, Daxton Bennick, 48 points down. 7th place is Jalik Swole, 47 points down. Max Anstey, 42 points down. Cody Shock in 5th, 31 points down. And then 4th place, these are the guys who really have a shot at this title still. 4th place is Pierce Brown with 116 points, 20 points out of the lead. 3rd place is McAdoo with 120 points, 16 out of the lead. We got Danger Boy Deegan in 2nd with 123 points, 13 out. And the Frenchman, Tom Vial, 136 points.
So at this point, it really looks like Vial's got control of this. I mean, he could just sit back behind Deegan, ride it in for a couple of seconds, even a couple of thirds gets it done. You know what I mean? No problem. Now, the final round being a showdown is going to make that a little more difficult, because he could easily get a 5th, 6th, right? Or worse, crap. You know, you have a crash, he could wind outside the top 10. I guess I'm talking out of my ass a little bit. Still up for grabs, but right now he's got a nice little cushion. How would you, if you're him, like, how do you go into this weekend? Are you still trying to win? Are you starting to play it a little conservatively?
I think, first of all, you're trying to stay clear of Danger Boy. You know, like, I think he's definitely your Danger Boy in this race. And if he's in front of you and you can pass him, I don't think you even want to touch that, you know, because I don't think you want to open yourself up to that. But as far as, he has a big points lead, and yeah, we only have one more race, but I look at it like, you go into the last round and now they have this showdown format. You ought to go into it with twice as many points as you typically would to want to feel comfortable. And really, that's like, I mean, 5 points. So you're saying 10 points. That's a, Hayden just beats him and gets it just to 10 points. That's not that comfortable going into that last round. You know, that'd be like a 5 points to a regular last round, you know? So I think he doesn't really need to take his pedal off. Oh, his pedal. I did this last week. You don't need to take his foot off the pedal. But he also needs to be smart, which I think is where that'll show for him being a championship type dude already. And I don't think he'll put himself in a bad spot. But if he gets the whole shot, that might be a bad spot if Hayden's there to be able to try to rough him up.
And you and I had this conversation maybe a couple weeks back, like playing it too conservatively, right? Will end up biting you. You have to go out there and attack. And if you can win, try to win. I think you got to be smart with Hayden because you're right. I think he, given an opportunity, would try to clean Tom out. I think you got to play that smart. But man, if you can get a whole shot and run, you got to try to win. I think you've got to try to still win, right?
That's the nail in the coffin if you can do that. And yeah, like we said about, I believe it was McAdoo, right? When we're saying maybe he's taking it a little too easy playing the championship game. Okay, now say that, I believe, what was that? He was going to maybe pass Hayden, I thought, yeah, at Foxborough. So let's give him that 6-point swing. He would be 13 points. He would be in second place, 13 points out of the lead right now. Hayden would be behind him. You know what I mean? So if he could have been a little more aggressive there when he was still 100%, that's the kind of things that I wasn't really foreseeing, but that's what can happen, you know? And yeah, maybe he's wishing if he could have got that win that he got it.
That's right. And so speaking of Cameron McAdoo, I did find out this week that it's his scapula that's fractured, not his shoulder, which is actually good for him long-term. You know, a jacked up shoulder is worse than a shoulder blade. But that fracture in there, he said what it's doing is when he extends, his arm kind of goes numb. He loses some strength. He goes, it's not the pain. I can ride through pain. I don't feel safe because I lose control and strength in the arm. So that's why he decided to pull off. He's like, I didn't want to hurt anybody. You know, I mean, it's a mature move for him, you know, and he and I had a conversation about just the situation he's in. And man, I'll tell you this, he's handling it with a lot more maturity than I did. When I lost my title that I thought was mine, you know, I thought I deserved, man, I didn't handle it well. And he's being super mature about it. He's a good kid, dude. I feel really bad for him. I feel bad for Mitch. I talked to Mitch this week. And he's got a tendency. He does this when he gets stressed out and his hair gets real tall. I said, Mitch, how tall is your hair right now, dude? He goes, oh, Empire State Building. I'm like, all right.
Yeah, that's funny.
So,
McAdoo, so what, you think he's going to be racing this weekend?
I honestly, my personal opinion, he didn't know. He's game time decision to see what he can get back out of that thing. He was doing therapy all week and everything he can, but I don't see it. I think he'll try, and I think it's just going to be too painful. That's what I think.
Well, shit, kudos to him regardless. I mean, that numbness in the arm, that retires some dudes. AC yeah. 9, this guy's going to probably come back this weekend.
Yeah, he's a savage. good news for Mitch, talking to him, though. Levi's good, no broken ribs. Looks like just some soft tissue, kind of separated ribs, still painful. But he should be good to go, especially with a weekend off, going into Denver. So that's good news for Mitch.
Yeah, I predicted that with Levi, that there was no real injury there. That was just hurt feelings, if you rewind the last broadcast.
And you and I had this conversation about maybe what happened when those two got together. And this was something else that got cleared up is, you know, we talked about maybe Cameron, his shoulder gave out and he went left. But he said he was staying left because he had Nicoletti to the inside of him. And what he said was Levi went a little long on that double going into that turn, and when he landed in that soft dirt, it pulled him right. So he actually pulled right into Cameron. Nobody's fault, just racing, just wrong place, wrong time, right?
Yeah, that's for sure. Shout out to our viewers, though, with the eagle eye. Put that in the comments. Straighten me out. I didn't even notice that the first time. So shout out. If you think we're wrong about something else, put it in the comment. Because we're not.
Let Chronic the Hedgehog know, and he will certainly bow down.
I call my secretary Nugs Bunny.
All right. I don't know. You got anything weird that's going to happen for this one? Anything in this 250 class? I mean, cool. I've been impressed with Cody Shock. A lot of these guys who are still in the mix. Pierce, I keep waiting for a breakout for him. He's always right there, but I keep waiting for something a little more. Maybe this weekend is it for Pierce Brown. I think we'll see him on the box, my prediction. But I think it's still, this is a Deegan Vial fight for the win this weekend.
Yeah, I think it is for sure. I think it probably will be for the championship too, but hopefully Cam gets back in there. But I'm saying, dude, I'm calling for fireworks because Hayden, I don't know, but I mean, I mentioned on the writers meeting show from last week that Hayden had an issue where he ran into Anstey and he couldn't turn because his radiator was bent hitting the front fender. Well, I watched his vlog and like that was no joke. That was way worse than I expected. So this dude is firing and like he sniffed that championship and he's still kind of in it for what happened right there. That was a great ride considering. So I think you're going to see Hayden come out here and he's going to be heads above these guys like he was at Foxborough, like maybe he would have been last week, you know, this past week if he hadn't had those issues. But I'm just interested to see how he's going to play it because I think he's going to – this could be like one of those like rookie like, you should have waited type things, and he's going to put them both down. I don't know. Someone will pick up the pieces, maybe Pierce. Who knows? I mean, I could see something good happening here, though, and I expect the track's going to be rutted. When the track's rutted and you get that real tight, the tight angles on the corners from having to come in tight and come out tight, it really opens it up for a Marvin Musquin T-boner on Tomac a few years back.
The dreaded so, T-boner.
Yeah, it's the type of track where, like, it's inevitable. You're not going to be able to avoid an attack from the back like you can at, like, a Phoenix or a dry track where you can come in on the inside and ride up the berm wherever you want because there's going to be 2-foot-deep ruts right there.
Yeah.
However that'll play out, I don't know. But I also think that's going to favor Tom. So if Tom could get in front of him, he could put lights out. But I don't see him walking away from him on a supercross track, especially not one with whoops.
I don't either. And Hayden knows he has to win at a minimum, right? If not, find a way to knock Tom down. And if you, let's say Hayden wins, Tom's second, now you go into that final round with 10 points difference only. That is not a sure thing. That's not a gimme putt. You know what I mean?
No. And what happens with the race win breakdowns, hypothetically? So say if Hayden gets this win and then they go into the next one and Hayden gets that win and the 10 points could put them on a tie pretty easily. Who would get the tiebreaker in that scenario? Do you know? It would be Hayden would have 4 wins or only 3 wins. Tom only has, I think, only 1 win, right?
He's
or
got two
wins. He has two back to back. So Hayden would have to win out. He would have to get like a 7th or an 8th, and that would be a tie. 7th or an 8th, that's not good odds. But I mean, what was it when Osborne had the Lifetime Achievement Award takeout on Savachi? What was that, an East West Showdown style, both coasts?
That's a good question. I don't think so. I think that was just, was it West or East?
Because weren't those guys actually East Coast? And I thought the West Coast guy who won it was AC, I thought. Or I'm not sure, but whatever it was, those guys, they were not in the front of the pack, remember? Like, it seemed like, dang, competition's stiff, you know? So to see those guys in wherever they were, 5th and 7th or something,
yeah,
that could be a type of situation, but I thought that was rare. You know, I wouldn't count on Tom being 7th even with twice the competition. So that's why I think Hayden knows this is the race where you take your shot. That way you don't go into the last round knowing that's your only card to play.
Right.
You know what I mean? Maybe you catch him off guard right here.
I want to mention something here real quick with Evan Ferry. There was some news this week that he parted ways with Triumph. And I had heard early on that they were just unhappy with kind of the whole thing in general, bikes, team. And I thought it was surprising. And then for a rookie kid, right? Like, I don't know, man, work with this team, help them develop the bike, grow with them. But they decided they're out. And I don't think he's got anything else lined up. Sounds like they're just going to maybe wing it, maybe try to find a fill-in spot or, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Kind of an odd deal.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but I think that was a lot to be on Evan's plate, you know, like to be making that transition at that time. You know, you have a lot going on just trying to turn pro, and then all the development things that it seemed like were put on his plate with that bike. You know, like he was there for like a year before media stuff was surfacing, you know, with the bike, and he was doing all this testing the bike and things like that. And I'm not going to say that they used him, but I'm sure, I mean, he did a lot of media and things with that bike when it was unveiled for them. And I think, I don't know the exact reasons of what the departure was from, but I don't know. I think obviously Timmy wasn't happy with what he thought it was going to produce for his son. So he's taking it somewhere else is what I got from it. There's not really too many details on why they did it or what the deal is, but I mean, I wish him the best and I'm sure he'll figure it out.
Yeah, I will say this, and you know, I'm not like super close friends with Timmy. I know him well. I really respect him. I think he's he had a very long, very successful career, where I would say at least in from what I knew him, right, from like the early mid 90s on, he was nothing but professional. He never burned teams. Like, he always did a good job. He worked hard, and so like, I don't think he would do something irrational or, you know, out of character. So I don't know. Maybe they were just
Well,
frustrated and didn't see any changes happening. Went, you know what? We're going to just go our own way. See you later. It'll be interesting to see what really comes out of it.
it seems to me like you could take a lot of things off the table as to what might have caused this. Like, for instance, I don't think it would have been overpay. You know what I mean? Like, I don't see Timmy saying, "Oh, you're not paying them enough." You know what I mean? I don't think it would be over the equipment because it's supposed to be a factory team. Maybe they didn't want to deal with the growing pain process of a new team. I could understand that. But what it sure looks like to me is like it's got to be something with the management or something like that, you know? Maybe it's something with Bobby Hewitt has a set way on how he wants to run his team, and maybe Timmy has different plans with how he wants his kid's career handled. And it doesn't mean that Timmy's not 100% right, and it doesn't mean that Bobby's not 100% right. So I don't know, but like I said, I'm sure Timmy made the decision for his kid's best interest, or they made the decision as a family.
Yeah, and hope my hope, and maybe this is Timmy's hope too, is that they'll have a spot open up. You hate to have a spot open up from somebody being hurt, but you know, it happens every single year. So maybe he'll drop into a team to fill a spot where somebody's out for the summer. So wish
It's
the best to
possible.
Evan.
I would like
Oh.
to not even see that though. I would like to see him just get his own, because he has what it takes to do this. Get your own bike, dude. Get what you're comfortable on. Go race when you're fucking ready to go race. You don't have someone telling you do it like this, wear this gear, try this. Do it your own way, dude, and see how you do. It's probably what they're already thinking, to tell you the truth. You know, I mean, maybe Timmy tried that route and maybe he looked at it like, dang, Evan gained a bunch of experience from this, but yeah, this isn't actually the way we want to go. Let's go, we're going somewhere else. You know, who knows? Could already have a plan done.
Well, I would guess he's got a good relationship with Kawasaki. Evan was posted a video of him on a Kawasaki this week. I know Timmy has a good relationship with Mitch. What if he just gets a sprinter van and hits the road with Timmy and Evan and on a
For
Mitch,
real.
you know, Mitch Payton 250? It might
I
not
mean,
be a
a
bad
fill-in
move.
ride's great, but a fill-in ride, it's like you're not going to be able to get the most out of yourself on a fill-in ride, you know? If you could tell him right now he's going to fill in on this particular ride in 6 months, yeah, maybe he'll get the most out of himself. But when those things pop up, for sure he could take them. But I think he's above that level. And I think maybe he should just slow down and not take a step back, but don't be in a rush to go pro until the door opens up and it's right. You know, look at Levi. He didn't go pro till later. Evan's young.
He is young. Yeah, it's a good point. Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens. We wish them the best. Just a weird thing. All right, let's get to the Rock and Turf 450 preview. You know, I think at this point, like for me, I know you're still a Cooper Webb fan, but I just think it's going to be hard to beat what Jet's got going. I think he that the weekend between the last two rounds, I think they had a reset. Probably had a good, you know, sit down as a family and said, hey, it's time to, you know, we got to put this thing to better. It's going to get away from us. And man, he was just freaking perfect last weekend.
Well, if that's what they said after that weekend, what do you think the Webb family said this weekend? Oh, time to roll over and play dead?
No, but it's his turn to respond, right?
Oh, no. He has to. He's going to, dude. He's going to, because I don't know. I'm thinking too far into this Eli thing, but man, is there a way that like they came to Eli and they said, or he got wind that, hey, you know, we understand Coop's the one that might get this title, and you know, you want to play teammate. And that just lit the fire under the dude. And he said, like, up that. And, like, that's a little extra level on Beast that was just unlocked, because I don't know, man. He needs to get Eli on his side. He needs an ally. And I mean, I know this is not a team sport, but, like, he needs an ally, and he needs that ally going to Denver. because Beast is going to be hot in Denver. You know what I mean? If you can get somebody that can push Jet, imagine this, like Cooper didn't want to go and try to push Jet at the last race because he wasn't comfortable, didn't want to land on his head. Imagine if you have somebody else who will go and push them for you, maybe even at a level that you can't go and push Jet into that mistake. I mean, Eli could be such a help right here, or he could be such a thorn in the side, because no one's really going to be mad at Eli if he pulls one of those, like, oh, I just wasn't on tonight, when it would have been the time to potentially, you know, help Buddy Deuce right there. But yeah. I don't know, dude.
Well, it's interesting to me because he did steal some points away last weekend. Pretty valuable 3 points.
Boy, he sure was excited with that second place on the podium, too. When he got second place at Cooper Webb, he was not nearly that excited. It was weird.
I didn't notice that.
Dude, I can see it, bud. I mean, Eli's like he's rejuvenated now, bud. He told him, he made me believe he's going home and he is working on the second half of these races. He's going to get better. This dude made me believe it when he said it after the race on Dirt Shark. And I was like, man, the Dirt Shark, you can get some intel, dude, from watching the Dirt Shark interviews, because the guys are fresh off the track, but they're not like, you know, like they're not corporate on the microphone. And dudes get it. And like Webb, he looks like, I don't know, he looks like really mad. And Tomac looked like really happy. And I'm just kind of thinking, like, maybe Eli, and I can understand it, he's wouldn't like to see the shine. You remember Kenny when potentially number 14 Ferrandis was going to ride for his team, and he shut it the hell down. He said, I don't want no one taking any of the spotlight over here. Imagine Eli.
You know, yeah. Dang. No, these guys don't like to share that spotlight. They don't like to share, you know, have two alphas under the same tent. It's weird. And it is an odd thing. And Eli, to that point, just stays in his motorhome. You don't see him under that tent. He walks out, gets on his bike, and rides to the track. When he comes back, he drops it off. He's back to his RV. So
yeah,
they don't really hang out much anyway.
Well, I mean, and this might be what you deserve, maybe not deserve. I don't want to sound mean, but Bobby Reagan, you know, you're going and trying to dang near make this a monopoly in the sport. You know, you wanted, like when we heard that news, like, oh, you're getting Tomac on your team? Dang. And then, wait, you're getting Webb on your team? You got, what, Sexton there testing your bike or something, I heard? Like, come on, bud. You know, you're making it so Star Racing's going to win no matter what. Now, wouldn't that be so ironic if that kind of backfired? But I say that, and I love Coop, but I'm just a fan, bud. I'm in it for the good championship.
Well, we got it. It's not going to be a cakewalk for anybody. These guys don't have a double points round, but – they do have more rounds to go here. Still some points to be earned.
Hey, they should take the double and the triple points rounds and put them with the triple crowns and throw them over the side of the boat somewhere. Fuck the double points rounds. What is that?
Yeah, those are stupid. We won't get into that. We'll get into that later on when the SMX stuff's going on. But for now, what do you think? Where is Chase Sexton's head after that digger? I don't know about you, but I've had bikes break on me. It's KTM, in fact, broke in half, jumping a triple. And it was a real turning point.
Phoenix 02 heat race. Woo, 39. Whoa, right? You were number 39?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, piston breaks off. The skirt of the piston breaks off on the face of the triple, right? I'm doing everything right, leading the heat, just won the weekend before, and almost died.
Like, you got that unobtainable Thor gear that no one could get.
Well, here's the thing, dude. That messes with your head because you're like, man, I, you know, when you have a mechanical that hurts you, it's like, dude, I didn't even make a mistake.
Yeah.
So according to Chase, now you could argue that this isn't true, but he said he had a rock cracked his throttle housing, the throttle stuck. I don't know. You believe that? Because I didn't see anybody right in front of him when all that went down. And I'm thinking, all right, well, maybe it cracked earlier. But how would he know that? Like, did he see a rock hit it? And they have a little carbon guard on that thing. Like, I don't know. I don't think so.
Well, I don't take Chase to be a liar. But, you know, like, when things are, like, in the moment, you know, you might want to defend yourself or who knows really what happened. But what I take from it that's the biggest tell is that as soon as he got up, when he first saw his mechanic, he was visibly frustrated. Yeah. Something happened.
That's my point. Yeah, I think that there was
like
an issue.
Afterwards, he had time to sit down and say, "Oh, let's say it was this," you know, and like I even saw Bubba, and Bubba seeming like he doesn't believe that that happened, and saying he may have just whiskey throttled. I don't think he did. I don't know.
Something went squirrely with the bike, but if let's just say Chase saw a rock hit it, and he's like, "Oh, a rock just hit my throttle housing." It must. That's what must have been why it stuck, or you know what I'm saying? Like why it did. What, well, I just that doesn't make sense to me. I think something weird happened. Maybe the throttle did stick. Maybe something else broke. He screamed at his mechanic. You know something. They get back to the pits and they go, "Hey, look. Let's just say that a rock hit the throttle housing and that was the issue." That's the story they tell. If there's a mechanical problem that they don't want to let on about, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. Just say it.
I mean, we didn't hear him say, "My throttle stuck," but we saw him be mad. And we also saw him. So, like, that makes sense. He wouldn't have known the throttle stuck and the housing was broke, but he would have been like, "Fucking bike's a junker," or whatever he said. And another thing was, he was had the wind knocked out of him, but he was making no attempt to, like, get back to the bike. So when you're not making any attempt to get back to the bike, you're either really hurt or you believe something went wrong with the bike to where there's no reason to go back to it.
Yeah, right. Right. Yep. Yeah, I don't know that we'll ever get the full story. I mean, I feel like if it was really a rock that cracked that housing, they'd have put a picture out of it. Because that isn't their fault, right? That's like, "Hey, man, this is crazy racing, right? Like, look, it broke our housing, you know."
Yeah.
There's no pictures. That's just the story they're saying. So I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm not
That's
trying to.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Is that how it goes? You better do that, Chase.
Okay, so who else we got? You think Eli can come back? I think I saw definitely some fire out of him last weekend. He said he likes the dry stuff better than the wet this year, or like kind of later in his career. He's gotten more comfortable on dry than soft. I think we're going to have a dry track, hard. I don't know about hard dry, but dry. Maybe this is his weekend to come in and let it rip.
Well, like, let's put it like this way with the track. If we were to take the tarps off the track and it was an absolute downpour, we'd be riding like San Francisco. That's the kind of dirt we're dealing with. It won't be like a San Diego mudder. You know what I mean? So it won't be a hard base like that. But Eli's like really Chase is still in it. We got Roczen's out. Dang, Plessinger's out. Yeah, the field is dwindling. That does bad for anyone wanting to pad points. You know what I mean? Like, Kenny's out, but that's not going to be bad for Coop, because Kenny, I don't care what color bike that dude's on, he is not Coop's friend. They got, like, plenty of history. So he's kind of glad that Kenny's out of there, because Kenny's one who, you know, I say maybe Eli had a little extra motivation to stay ahead of Coop in that main event. I know Kenny would want to put it in front of Coop right there, big time.
Yeah, he used to date his wife, right, or something. There's all drama with his lady.
Something crazy like that happened. I think both the girls got both their jerseys in the closet somewhere.
Oh, the drama. All right, so you still think Coop can get it done this weekend? Like, what do you see happening? Tell me your predictions. Let's hear it.
Well, even if Cooper Webb gets beat by Jet this race, I'm going to come back on here next weekend and I'm still going to tell you that he's going to win the championship, because I think he's going to do whatever it takes, and he may or he may not, but this race isn't going to break it. It would
you don't
be
think
great.
So? It's so not you're telling me it. If Jet wins, Coop goes second, which would be, hey, that's not easy.
I predict this. It actually may work against Jet if he wins this one. Just because I think then Jet's going to have to get on the back and he's going to take his foot off the pedal. He's not going to be aggressive. And then it's going to, he needs to be like that aggressive. Like, look right here. Once he was tied up and his back was against the wall and his pedal was on the foot again. I love saying that. So his foot's on the pedal and look how he performed, you know, like, great. I think when he has that lead, maybe he might have to ride a little bit different, but if Buddy Eli would have those 2 points out of, I mean, if Cooper would have the 2 points out of Eli's pocket, he'd only be 3 points down. I would say Cooper is winning this race because he's going to tie the points back up. But I don't even know if I think Cooper's going to win this race or Jet. I think Eli's going to win this race. And I think Eli's going to win the race because I think the championship, Coop's going to start playing into Jet. And I think he's going to do something to take him out of the front, whether it's on the start or whatever it is. I don't think you're going to see Jet out front. But the worst thing that can happen for Cooper is Jet to get out front and put a little gap between them because they'll probably never catch him.
Yeah. You know, normally it's always a real bummer when we lose riders to injury. But it's like at this point, the fight's really between those two guys with maybe Sexton, maybe Eli getting in and spoiling and stealing points. So well, it's a little bit different dynamic.
Chase's focus shift. You know, like if you're Chase right now, you might think, hey, okay, I'm out of the championship. Last year, I started the outdoor season way behind. Maybe not way behind. He raced the first race at Paula, but then he was hurt. By the time he got in it, he felt like he was compared against Jet every weekend. It was probably driving him crazy. And he really started way on the back foot because he missed so many rounds. But everybody was like, oh, you're on the same bike as him, and he's beating you every race. It had to drive him crazy. I would love it if Chase, and he's probably smarter than I am, so he's probably doing this, if he uses his time to like get on the outdoors or something. And if he does that and he starts focusing on that, he's not really going to be his best self on the weekend. And the chances of him finishing in between these guys is going to be lower and lower, you know? So I think these guys are going to rise to the top. Like obviously they already are, but you know, at the end of every championship, it's like, there's another level that dudes unlock. Well, Eli wants to go with them. Kenny wanted to go with them. Hombre don't really look like he wants to go with them, but he could go with them. But Jet would have to probably pee him off real bad to make him want to ride that hard, you know?
Another little helmet shake.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I still got Jet for the win, but I think it's going to be a good fight between the three of them. I don't know where I see Chase finishing. I think at the very least, he's a little mentally rattled from that, whatever happened. And I don't think we see our best.
Here's
Chase.
Something to think. Unless he's lying, then he ain't mentally rattled because he knows there was really no problem with the bike.
He just whiskey throttled it.
Hey, if there was no problem with the bike, I'm saying though, and it didn't malfunction, then he's not mentally rattled because his bike didn't fail him.
Well, he still did a backflop onto that berm.
Well, yeah, he's definitely hurt
and
he doesn't
smashed
want to
his
experience
nuts.
That again. But I'm thinking he didn't lose trust in his bike. But I will say, bud, in my vintage or my vet days, I get arm pumped so bad that I whiskey throttle and repeatedly think like, dude, something's wrong. It's just you can't return. I don't think that's his problem. But if you're at home and you're a rider and you're thinking, no, that happens to me, he just couldn't let off. Probably not the case.
Probably not with him. Happens to me for sure. Not.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you got anything else you want to throw in on this?
Yeah, I got something special for these dudes. Since I'm a local, I'm South Jersey, right across the water from Philly. I'm going to tell you guys, you're probably going to get raped. You'll get ripped off in that stadium for a cheesesteak, and it's not even a right cheesesteak. You got to go to downtown and go to Gino's. Okay, and you got to get the cheesesteak with regular cheese, not the melted cheese. But if you like that nacho cheese, then do that. But don't get ripped off in the city with a bunk cheesesteak. And then once you get the cheesesteak, get the hell out of downtown because it's dangerous.
So if you're going to get something in the stadium, get a beer and a glizzy. Yeah. Be done with it. Get your cheesesteak downtown.
At downtown, only thing you can get is a cheesesteak and robbed. So get the cheesesteak and get out.
Cheesesteak and mugged. Which one you want? All right. And this crowd is pretty wild. You said the Philly fans are pretty nuts.
But they'll boo the winner. They don't care. We win games here and we boo and throw drinks at Andy Reid and our coaches. We don't care. We don't know if we're booing or cheering, dude. So if you hear it, don't get your heart hurt. We're just passionate.
We're just angry sometimes. We don't know.
Yeah, buddy. Yep.
All right, right on. Well, listen, thanks, J-Lop. Quick shout out to our sponsors again, Rock and Turf, Maxis, and Speed Strap. Love it. Love you guys for supporting us. Thanks for watching. We'll be back Monday with Riders Meeting, breaking it all down from Philly. Get your cheesesteaks on. Don't get mugged. All right, we'll see you.